Welcome to Are You Real Creatives, shaping culture through creative influence. Connect with artists that are redefining what it means to break through industry barricades and are becoming a driving force in the world by sharing their individual gifts, struggles, and experiences. Now, please welcome your host, Matt Dietz. This is Are You Real Creatives.
Welcome to the Are You Real Creatives podcast. This is your host, Matt Dietz, and today I am joined by an artist, singer-songwriter, producer, musician extraordinaire, Chris Clayton. Chris, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate you.
Oh, my pleasure, Matt. Thanks for asking me to be a part of it. So, and you're too kind, by the way. Thanks for all that. So, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, I want to jump right into it, and I want to get a little history or background on you as an artist. I want to get our audience familiar with who you are, what you've done in the past that has led you to the point that you're at now, working in the music industry in Nashville, obviously doing big things and making big leaps. I love seeing what you're doing in the songwriting aspect of it. I know my brother was just recently at an event that you guys held there, and that's really our connection is through him. But I want you to give a little bit of history to our listening audience so they kind of connect with you and know who you are and what you're doing and what's led to this point.
Sure. Well, I'll try to give you the short but detailed version of the history to get to
absolutely.
So grew up in a Christian home. I'm a PK, pastor's kid, so we've got something in common there, obviously.
Yeah.
But grew up in church all my life, so it's I've known church culture since day one. Dad pastored for a long time. Mom was kind of the musician in the group a little bit, I guess you could say, which rubbed off on me, I guess. But kind of went through life as a PK, and I'll fast forward you to where I call really home, I guess, and that's when we moved to Beaumont, Texas, which is just 90 miles east of Houston. That's where I really kind of began to discover where I feel like God was kind of pushing me in my gifts and callings. And really a huge credit to my parents for being faithful to answer a call to go be a part of a church there. I think without that, obviously, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. So I got involved in our student ministry there. Student ministry was brand new to the church as well. And so we kind of connected. And it was that summer before my ninth grade year that I kind of officially, I think, discovered music. For the first time ever, we had like cable television, and I discovered this channel called MTV. And it was back when they were playing like, you know, music videos, go figure.
Yeah.
And, you know, really began to figure out, hey, there's some cool music out there. And was also beginning to discover, you know, Christian music and worship. And God just kind of began to put this, you know, kind of desire to play music. And I remember my grandparents bought my first guitar for me and got a book and started learning chords and just kind of going down that path. And my student pastor, Andy, he gave me my very first shot to lead worship for our student ministry. And I would love to say it was great, but I'm sure it was horrible at the time. But it's what started the whole process for us. So started leading worship in my student ministry, and we kind of started putting the band together and graduated from there and then moved up to Dallas, where originally my family's all from. We're all from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and moved back up to Dallas to go to Dallas Baptist University. And my intent there was to go a couple of years to DBU, and then I wanted to transfer to Beaumont University here in Nashville because I really wanted to pursue music business. And I knew two things. I wanted to travel and lead worship as an artist and as a worship leader and do events like for students and churchwide events. But also wanted to produce, also wanted to write. I always had this studio knack within me. And so that's kind of at the time I felt like it was kind of a anomaly of a calling and just didn't really know where that began. So I thought, well, at least I'll go to a school that can help me maybe kind of navigate what that looks like. So I went to DBU. I thought, well, I'll just go here for a couple of years, kind of initial get away from home. And then I'll go to Beaumont after a couple of years. Well, first year, my freshman year at DBU, I meet this girl, and it changed everything. So
sure.
I ended up meeting this girl, and we ended up dating 3 years, and now she's my wife. So Kara and I, we've been married 17 years, coming up here in about a week as of the time of this podcast. And so we've been married 17 years. I have 4 boys now, Corbin, Callan, Caden, Cohen, 14 down to 9. So our house is anything but boring, as they say, so with 4 boys. But so we ended up, obviously, did not go to Beaumont. I stayed in Dallas, which is truly what God had for us, obviously, and was leading worship there for various Baptist student ministry events. And then I just started getting calls. Like, I wasn't really trying to pursue the whole, like, how do I launch this ministry? All I knew to do was just do what I was, you know, kind of wired to do. And that's just lead worship and start writing songs. And I had no idea what it even looked like. You know, this was back in, you know, the late 90s. So it wasn't, you know, as saturated as it is today, you know, with a bunch of worship leaders and artists. So I just was just kind of trying to bloom where I was planted. And, you know, people talk and word gets out, and I would get invites to come and do, you know, a Disciple Now or a youth retreat, you know, things like that. And so those started kind of getting more and more frequent, and was still kind of dabbling in the recording and trying to read as much as I could. I had a little 4-track recorder. That's all I really had. And so I was just trying to get it, put it all together. And so we graduated from DBU, and then we got married the following January in 2001, and kind of just set out, you could call it ignorance or just extreme faith. And it was probably a little bit of both, of just what does this look like for us? And began to kind of pursue it. And the first thing I knew to do was just trying to reach out to people that maybe had done this ahead of me. And I think there's value in people that have walked ahead of us. And so I kind of reached out to a friend of mine, not a friend of mine, not yet, but he was, I'd heard of his name. I'd seen his name on records. He'd actually led worship at some events, a guy named David Parker. And David, yeah, I reached out to him over an email, and you know, hindsight's 2020. It was really the one email that I've probably thousands of emails that I've sent in my lifetime that changed my life. Because I sent him an email and I said, hey, I've seen your name on records. You've led worship at events I've been at. I'm wanting to lead worship and travel. I'm wanting to produce records and write. I know you do both. Would you have any need for some kind of intern, a shadow, someone that could just come and just watch you and learn from you? You know, and about a day later, so he emailed me back and said, I've actually been praying about someone to come on because the workload at the studio has been a lot. And I just love to maybe start training somebody up. And I was like, well, I'm your guy. So we ended up having lunch, and to make a long story short, ended up coming on staff with him shortly after that as the studio manager and one of the engineers, and worked for him for a good 4 or 5 years. Ended up actually taking on our Studio B and started producing out of Studio B, and he ended up shutting the studio down a few years after working for him. And he went on staff at our church, 121 Community Church in Grapevine, Texas, which is in the DFW area, and ended up going to work for him for a while. So I spent a lot of time underneath him as a mentor, and which I think is just huge. And honestly, there's kind of a lost art of a mentor these days in the creative world, which I hate to see that. I would love to see a resurgence in that. But spent a lot of time and then underneath him, but also was doing my own thing in terms of helping getting established as a producer, started bringing in artists, and artists started calling me. That's where I first met your brother, Zach, through his band. And then also all the while was starting to get more calls to go travel and lead worship. Fast forward many years to 2013. I got a phone call from a guy who I'd met through a mutual friend of ours at our church in Grapevine, a guy named Michael Farron. And Michael reached out to me, got reconnected with Michael through a songwriting conference, the one that Zach Dietz went to, your brother, Kingdom Songs. It was actually the very first Kingdom Songs they ever put on. And Michael reached out to me just to kind of get a reference for another guy that had applied for that. And I was like, so what is this thing you're talking about? And so long story short on that, ended up going to that. He told me about it, ended up flying up to Nashville, reconnected with him and meeting a lot of people that even now today I do life with here in Nashville. Yeah. And so got a call from him a few years later after that Kingdom song. He said, hey, I'm actually looking to start my own publishing company, and you're on my kind of short list of guys I'd love to reach out and see if you'd be interested in being part of that. And so for me at that time, like, you know, a record deal was nothing I was really wanting to do in terms of like an artist record deal. They're not bad. They're very beneficial if they're done right. It just wasn't for me. But a publishing deal was always kind of intriguing to me, what it looked like to be, you know, signed as a songwriter. So he reached out, gave me, you know, said, hey, why don't you come to Nashville? I came to Nashville, hung out with him. We wrote together with a lot of his friends. And at the end of that trip, ended up kind of handshaking a deal with him on that, and then officially getting on board with what is now called the Rain Collective, which is his publishing group. And then about a year later, the Rain Collective and all of his writers ended up re-signing with him in partnership with Integrity Music. So Integrity, if you're not familiar with that, some of the listeners aren't familiar with that, it's kind of been a pioneer in the modern worship world of songs and artists, a lot of great songs that have come out of that world. So after signing, we still lived in Dallas area and began to pray about, well, do we end up moving? Because I was making about 5 to 6 trips a year out to Nashville for meetings or for rites. And I was kind of the last one to come on board, even though I was kind of the guy that was kind of leading up this whole thing. And back in October of 2016, we kind of rolled the dice and jumped up here to Nashville, and we haven't looked back. So it has been an amazing journey. And now I'm also on staff as here at Gateway Franklin Church with Michael, sure, and as one of our worship pastors, and now kind of wear the role of creative arts pastor. So 15 months into the journey, and God's been great. So we can't complain. It's great.
That's awesome. Just a couple of touch points, man. I was in a band in college where David Parker actually came and recorded a live record for us. And that's a really cool connection for me, yeah, there, to know that was something that I had some experience with him. So that's really cool. Talk a little bit about, because I know what we have as an audience are people who are creatives, a lot of people that are interested in music and the industry and don't really know anything about the industry. And when you mention things like the difference between a record deal and a publishing deal, I think a lot of our audience, our listenership, doesn't even know that something like a publishing deal exists. They've heard of record deals because they've maybe dreamed of doing something like this. But we do have a lot of people who, you know, may never end up in some sort of record deal opportunity, but the publishing aspect of it may intrigue them. So talk a little bit about that. Obviously, being on board with a publishing company, what's the difference between the two? What is the draw to the publishing aspect of it?
So from an artist standpoint, obviously a traditional record deal means that you're kind of engaging with a record label to help get your music and your message and kind of your movement as an artist on a broader scope. And that's really, you know, if you were to talk with industry people here in town, that the scope of a record deal has definitely changed over the years as the industry has changed, obviously with streaming versus, you know, buying music. And that's becoming more and more of a accepted kind of medium of consuming music with the streaming side of things. That's changed a lot. But really the idea of a record deal for the artist is, like I said, to kind of broaden their platform in many ways and give them some opportunities to help expose their music to a broader audience. From a publishing side and an artist side as well, because usually when you sign a record deal, you know, you're also signing a publishing deal with that label, because they want, as you as a writer, they're going to want to help broaden your impact songwriting as well.
Sure.
For those like me who don't have a record deal but have a publishing deal, it's more helping take songs and give exposure as a songwriter to help kind of broaden influence of getting songs. So for me, like, I write a lot of modern worship songs. That's kind of what I do the most. I write in the CCM pop world and things like that as well. But for me, you know, jumping on board with the Rain Collective and Integrity, that kind of setup, it's allowed me to kind of be in the rooms with other writers who are getting some songs out there that are, you know, more and more popular. But it's also allowed me to, as a writer, to kind of get more and more established and help mm-hmm. get the songs that God's given me out there more. So I think ultimately a publishing deal is very similar to an artist deal in that it's to help give you a broader audience and a broader platform to get your songs out there. If I had to kind of put it in a nutshell of what a publishing deal is, I don't know if that kind of answers the question or not, but that's kind of where I think the difference is. There's some similarities, but you're more focusing on the writing aspect. And for me as a writer, like, I'm not in fact writing for myself a whole lot these days. I'm helping write for artists that I'm producing as a producer, you know, as they're coming to me, like I'm working with some different artists right now, and we're in the kind of in the writing phase right now. We're not really in the pushing red button phase yet. We're trying to get as many songs down as possible. And then we go into the whole song selection before we even hit the recording phase. So I'm writing for other people right now, which I enjoy that. Like that's huge. Yeah. So I think a difference in that is, you know, taking the attention off yourself and putting it more on others, helping develop others as a songwriter.
Yeah, I love that. I want to talk about that a little bit too, because you mentioned before that, you know, the record deal aspect of it was something that you were not all that interested in, but when this publishing opportunity came, that it was something you were ready to jump on. Tell our audience what it is about the songwriting aspect of your career and the production part of your career that is so much more interesting to you as an artist than, you know, being an artist on a platform or on a record label doing stuff, you know, touring and that sort of thing. Why is it at this point in your life that the publishing aspect of this and the songwriting aspect of this is so intriguing to you? What is it that's taking precedence in your life from that perspective?
I think for me, on that side of things, I see in my genre, in producing worship and CCM music, the extension of me being a worship pastor extends over to that role as well. So the pastoral hat that I get to wear on a Sunday morning, you know, leading, you know, 500 people here at Gateway Franklin every week, mm-hmm. I don't take that hat off just because I'm sitting behind a console or a computer making music. What's more important to me, I always want to make great art and make great music and write great songs, whether it's for the church or for, you know, like I said, CCM pop. That's I love that aspect of it. But more than anything, I love pouring into the artists that I get to work with. It's just from a relational side of things. So, you know, like I said, I'm still wearing that pastoral hat, even though I'm sitting in front of some studio monitors and we're making music. I'm more concerned about, you know, helping them launch their ministry, helping them, you know, further their ministry as an artist or as a worship leader. So that's really the draw for me. I think that goes back to, you know, our friend David, you know, Parker, who did that for me. You know, he invested so much in me as a worship leader and as a producer. That's kind of just ingrained in me. And so now I've been given the opportunity to have young producers that are even moving to town, even as of this week, you know, and then artists that are coming in that I get to kind of impart some knowledge, both on the physical nuts and bolts of songwriting and production, but also just on the ministry aspect. That's the draw. Like, I've kind of reached the point now, like, I still do some events on the outside. I've scaled back a lot on the traveling, on the artist worship leader side. I love being at home because that's obviously more time with my family, but ultimately I'm finding more fulfillment and joy in pouring into my church now that I'm here at Gateway Franklin, but also, you know, being at home and just getting to spend time in the studio with artists and helping them, like I said, craft their songs and launch their careers. So that's awesome. That's where the joy comes from for me now.
That's really cool. So is Gateway Franklin, is it an extension or any kind of connection with Gateway in Southlake? Or
no, it's not. It's not. It's, we're coming up on 11 years old. We've got a lot of great friends at Gateway in Southlake. Yeah. We've, in fact, Farron has written a lot of great songs with them, and we've got a lot of great friends that are part of that. But we're not affiliated with them at all.
Gotcha. Yeah, I knew I'd recognize the name, and there's so much interconnection nowadays. I was just curious about that. But that's really cool. So. The place that you're at now with the production and with the publishing aspect, are you working with artists that you pursue or artists that pursue you, and how does that work?
Man, that's a great question. That's kind of been, for this year, for 2018, has been kind of I feel like, to give you some backstory to that question, I feel like 2017 and moving here and it's having the first full year underneath my belt here in a new town, and especially a town, obviously, like Nashville, which is kind of establishing some roots as a songwriter and some credibility and just, you know, getting relationships rolling. And so for 2018, I really felt that I wanted to not only, you know, as artists come to me as a producer and songwriter, but I really wanted to begin to seek out artists that, you know, that I felt like there was a connect there in terms of, you know, music vision, ministry vision, things like that. And so I've been just trying to keep an eye out for that. And there's a couple of people that I've kind of intersected at the end of last year and the beginning of even this year that I've kind of, for lack of a better word, started to develop. That's something I'm a big fan of. Don't wait for the opportunity, create the opportunity.
Mm-hmm,
and
sure.
So for me, you know, I think some of the best artists out there from a talent perspective just don't know where to start, and they need someone to kind of intersect with them to help get them going. And so obviously that's not always going to be everybody, and not everybody's going to be a great fit for what I do or for what I can bring to the table. But I am kind of in on that idea right now of I want to find great talent, but also great people who have genuine hearts and just who love pursuing it for the right reasons, but who also, I mean, ultimately who, like I said, have amazing talent and who want to pursue the creative side in a very fresh, authentic way. And so luckily and authentically just been kind of trying to figure that out a little bit of what that looks like. Had a lot of conversations, again, with people who have done that before me. I think there's, like I said earlier, there's value in that. And so, I'm anxious to see what this year brings because we're kind of beginning to kind of start the wheel on how that all looks like on my end. I've never done that before. So I'm anxious to see how it pans out.
Awesome. So one of the things that this show is really set up to do is engage with artists who are currently in the industry doing things that are, you know, we want to do interviews that are outside of the box, things that are not, obviously we're interviewing artists. I just interviewed Cody Carnes, you know, just this last week, and that it dropped today, that airs today. So I'm interviewing artists like that, but I'm also looking to interview artists who are doing things in the industry where people on this side of it, the audience side of it, wouldn't know what happens and goes on behind the scenes and how these publishing deals happen and how there are companies like your company and your group of people, your collective of people who are helping new artists, you know, begin to develop their songs, begin to develop their profile, begin to develop their ability to stand out as an artist. And so my question is, I guess it's a two-part question. One, if someone in our listening audience who is at that place where they're, you know, like they fit the criteria where they've got talent and their hearts are in the right place, and obviously they're on the rise, but nobody knows about who they are. They're building their own platform, building their own audience and that sort of thing at this point. If somebody like that who is listening to today's show is out there and exists, wants to get in touch with you and is interested in engaging with you in this process, is it possible for them to get in touch with you and begin the process of writing with you and producing with you? And then two, what does that process look like for you working with artists? What do you begin the process of working on? What is the time frame on something like that? Do they need to fly into Nashville to meet with you and that sort of thing? And if you would, just kind of run down what that looks like.
Sure. So your first question, I mean, like I said, at this where I'm at as a producer in trying to find and just open to hearing people's journeys and stories of where they're at. Yes, I'm always open to hearing music and always open to kind of engaging with someone who goes, hey, I've got something to say and I've got a story to tell. And this is kind of my journey. And this is kind of how I've helped. This is kind of how I'm processing my journey is through this music. And I'd love for you to listen to it. Or even as a worship leader who, you know, who's writing songs for the church, you know, a great song is always going to find an outlet. You know, I think the anomaly kind of set up with church and worship music is that a great song should be birthed in the church first and really take root in the church before it ever finds its way to radio or to industry. Because I think if we're writing for the church, then let it marinate with the church. I think a great example of that is the song Good Good Father that came out that Pat Barrett wrote. And, you know, and then, you know, it's sad in that world of their church and then kind of, for lack of a better word, kind of an underground movement a little bit. And then, you know, Tomlin took it on and has done amazing things with it. Sure. But I love that it had some time in the local church to just kind of do its thing there before it ever took on that role. So I didn't mean to rabbit trail on that, but I just think it's really, I'm always looking for, you know, and I think any producer would say they're always open to hearing a great story, hearing a great song and seeing if it's a great fit, you know, of how we could help broaden that influence and broaden that, even if it's just one song. It's like, how can this song reach a grander audience, whether it's a CCM pop song or whether it's a worship song? So there's various outlets that you can reach me and we can talk about that later or whatever, but I mean, that I'm always open to that. Your second question, the process, it's always fun to talk about the process of making music, because I think there's never a consistent way, if you will, of making a record or even, you know, tracking a single. So I think for me, the first thing is making sure there's a great connection just from a personality standpoint between myself and the artist, because you're going to spend a lot of time. I'm going to spend a lot of time with this artist in a room and helping, you know, track things, do vocals, you know, talk vision for this song. So if there's not a great connection between me and the artist, then it can make that process feel even longer than it could be. The next phase, you know, after I feel like, hey, this could really work. This could be a great connection and we could do something really cool together. It all starts with the songs. Like, I want to hear where their songs are at. And I always encourage, you know, let's say an artist is saying, hey, I really want to put out a 5-song EP. And I always encourage them, well, I want you to turn in to me at least 10 songs, because I want to be able to sit down with you and I want to be able to go through your songs and go, hey, this is hitting, this needs some work. We should probably not go down this route. Because if you just write 5 songs for a 5-song EP, then it kind of handcuffs me as a producer to kind of help craft the best possible project that you're investing your time, finances, and energy into. But if you write, you know, 10 to 15 songs, it at least gives me a grand palette to kind of go, hey, as a third party objective opinion on this, this song's amazing, or this song needs some work, or let's tweak the bridge. And also for artists, like the artists I'm kind of working with right now, I'm helping set up co-writes with them. I'm saying, you know, let's come to town, or if they live here, let's start setting up rights with other co-writers so that you're not just, you know, getting a one-sided view of songwriting. You're getting multiple input from writers that have, you know, could bring something really unique to the table. So there's the songwriting aspect of the song selection aspect. And then we're obviously into the recording side of things where we're dragging in players, you know, we're casting the vision to these players and we're starting to physically basically lay down tracks and, you know, begin to kind of shape, you know, tonally and part wise what these songs sound like. And obviously we're pulling influences in from what the artist is really into, and but also trying to push them into, you know, new realms of what may not be, you know, I'm not trying to take them out of what they're comfortable with, but I don't want them to sound just like XYZ artist, because that doesn't help them, you know, stand out from something else. So we're trying to, you know, obviously push them to places that is something new for them. And so then there's obviously, there's a lot of hands that touch a project, from players to obviously producers to mix engineers and mastering songwriters. And, you know, at the end of the day, you've got a lot of people who have imparted their talent or their wisdom or their creativeness into the project. And at the end of the day, it's always fun for me to go back and listen to early demos or even iPhone work tapes of songs that we wrote or the artist wrote for their project, and can compare it to the final master and just watch their eyes light up of seeing something that just didn't exist, you know, 4 hours before a writing session, and now it's, you know, those, you know, maybe the lead single that's coming off of their record. That's, it never gets old. It really doesn't. It's because it's helping someone, you know, not only just see a dream come to life, but also see, you know, a ministry launch and see, hear stories of how it's impacted so many people around the world. That just, like I said, it never gets old.
That's awesome. So if, you know, our audience wants to connect with you, if there's somebody listening that has that, you know, is at that place in their life where they're ready to make a jump, they want to cut a record, they want to cut an EP or whatever they want to do, work with writers, work with what you do as a publishing artist or, you know, a producer, how do they connect with you?
Yeah, so arrowsmusic.com, S-I-X, arrowsmusic.com is our production website. There's, you can email hello@sixarrowsmusic.com. That goes straight to us. And we use that avenue to, like, you know, send us a link, send us MP3s. We love listening to music. We just love connecting with artists and worship leaders on that side of things. Well, obviously on all the socials, Instagram and Facebook, Twitter, Six Arrows Music. We check those messages all the time as well, but yeah, definitely open to hearing songs and hearing, you know, kind of journeys of artists and worship leaders of, this is where I'm at, and this is kind of where I feel like God's saying go. And we love just, you know, if anything, if it's not something that we feel is a fit or for whatever reason it doesn't happen, we love just, you know, answering questions. I mean, that's kind of, at the end of the day, that's where I asked a lot of questions, you know, throughout this early part of my journey. I still ask a lot of questions. So I don't ever want to turn someone down just because they have a question, you know, about how do I do this? I think there's value in just, you know, feeling freedom to ask questions and helping someone walk through, you know, kind of the next phase of what they're doing.
That's so good. I appreciate that about you and what your heart is behind the ministry that you have. And it is a ministry. It's not just it's not just a business.
Right.
Because I can't tell you how many times I've worked with somebody that's a producer recording something, and the relationship basically ends there. It's a business proposition. They want to get it done and get it over with and move on to the next project. And then there's no real influence beyond what their capacity to influence something musically is, even though there may be some knowledge, you know, just a little bit of guidance goes so far with people. Hey, we just recorded this. Now let me see if I can help you promote it a little bit. Let me push it to my socials. Let me push it to, you know, my fan base, people that are following me, and here's what you need to do. And I just love the fact that what you're doing as a business is more of a ministry to really help guide and mentor people who need some guidance. Because honestly, that's the truth of all of us. You know, we're engaging something for maybe the first time or early on in our careers, and something of that capacity, all of us need that sort of help and that guidance. And so I really appreciate that about you, man. I really do.
My pleasure. Well, I think I'll say this too. I think the greatest common denominator of every artist that's in here in Nashville or LA, New York, you know, artist in period or producer, the greatest common denominator is that risk has been involved. Mm-hmm. And so I think even if it's just risking, reaching out, you know, without, like, I go back to my email to David Parker, who helped me get on this journey. If I hadn't had the risk to just even send him an email, there's a lot of people that I would just kind of psych themselves out and not ever send it, because they were just like, I feel like a dummy, you know, just sending this email because I don't know. But I think if people would just learn to take risk and not be afraid to ask questions or even jump out there, then the sky's the limit. And for me, like, I'm honestly it excites me and to say that I'm doing what I've wanted to do since I was in 10th grade as a creative. And this is, it hasn't been easy. It's been a journey. It's been a process. But at the end of the day, I love repaying it back by pouring into younger artists, younger producers. And it's just, it's a joy to do it. I just, like I said, it never gets old.
So good, man. So good. And then what it's doing is honestly, it's putting the right spin on the industry. Because I think so many people just have this mentality that it's dog eat dog, and I'm sure part of it is, and it's hard to stand out. And so you're doing everything that you can in a town full of artists to try to stand out. So there is that part of it. But just to really strip away the conceptual idea of what the music industry looks like in Nashville and strip it away to the conversation that we're having right now to where it really is. There is a ministry aspect behind it, and there is a purity and an authenticity behind it is really so good for this audience, for any audience to really engage with and know and understand, hey, there's some hope behind what you're in pursuit of, because ultimately it boils down to we all have these dreams, we all have these aspirations, but it doesn't mean that we're a threat to one another, that we can actually help one another along the way. And so I love that about this conversation, man. It's really good.
Great. Awesome, man.
To cover where our audience can connect with you, your Six Arrows is sixarrows.com.
Sixarrowsmusic.com is the website for all the production that we do. And same thing, all the socials is at Six Arrows Music.
Awesome. And we will have that in our show notes. So anybody listening to this podcast will be able to get all that information from the show notes. Man, I really appreciate your time today. I appreciate you joining us and just really sharing your heart and sharing your business and allowing people to get to know who you are and what you're doing. And man, I'd encourage our audience, no matter where you're at, obviously the invitation's out there. Reach out with questions, reach out with the songs that you're writing, reach out with any information that you have to this group and throw it out there. Take the risks. You know, that was a huge part of this conversation. And I feel like it's a really big hurdle for most people to take that risk. And so I just encourage our listening audience to jump on his website, sixarrowsmusic.com, the social media aspect of it, connect with him, follow him. I'll also look for, I know you've got a lot of music out there, Chris.
Yeah.
You've had several records of your own, and I know that those are still out there lingering. Even though you've focused more on the publishing and the producing side of it, you do have music out there, and I want people to be able to connect with you in that. You have stuff on iTunes, I know that. Where else do you have music? What platforms are you on?
All those records are on iTunes and Spotify still, and then I'll even push what we're doing here at Gateway Franklin. Church House is our extension of what we do from the art side of things for music and writing, songwriting. So Church House, all one words, just right there. That's on iTunes and Spotify. And so I'm obviously proud of that and want people to connect with there as well. So
awesome. And just as always, anytime I push an artist that's writing music and recording music, there's a lot of expense that goes into that. And I try to encourage all of our listeners to always try to purchase the music. Mm-hmm. Don't just stream it, because the revenues in streaming obviously are not sufficient to support the artists in the industry. So I encourage all of our listeners, go to iTunes, go to the platforms that are available and purchase Chris's music, purchase Church House's music, and give it a listen and connect with these guys that are doing big things. And if you're an artist and you're looking for opportunities, again, connect with these guys through their website, sixarrowsmusic.com, and through all of the social media outlets. Chris, again, thank you so much for today.
Appreciate you being on the show.
All right, guys, connect with us again on areyoureal.org. You can find all of our show history, connect with our other podcast hosts, and check out what they're doing in business and fitness and all forms of life and lifestyle. So connect with all of those other podcast hosts. You've been listening to today's show with Chris Clayton on Are You Real Creatives? And I'm your host, Matt Dietz. You can connect with me on social media at Dietz Official on all platforms. We appreciate you listening in. We look forward to next time. God bless, and you guys have a great day.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Are You Real Creatives? Your next step is to visit areyoureal.org for more resources and show notes based on today's episode, as well as to connect with your host on social media. We look forward to you joining us next time as we shape culture through creative influence right here on Are You Real Creatives?